And welcome to the Heart Journey Podcast, also called the Whole Life Podcast, both with Dr. Barbara. I am Dr. Barbara Jean Losove. I am coming to you as a minister, completely from my Christian worldview, our shared Christian worldview. But I also happen to be a psychologist. Now, when I do psychology, I practice self-determination. I take my clients as I find them. As a minister, here we're just sharing from a Christian worldview, and it's a different domain that I function in. But because I'm sharing this on my ministry platform, but also happen to be a psychologist, you're going to get some science. So we just went through parts of self in our solo podcast series, where I'm doing solo podcast on from codependence to Christ dependence. And today we're going to talk about marriage parts, attachment, and the physics of trust. We're going to bring in research from John and Julie Gottman. There's going to be some Stan Tackin stuff in here, Gabor Maté, Terry Real, Sue Johnson. So if I don't cite them, know that their work is foundational in this. And of course, we're bringing in the master counselor, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father, the Trinity. Okay, so in podcast 9, we talked about parts of self and that we're not crazy, we're just complex, that we have various parts of self. We have protective parts, we have wounded parts, we have resilient parts, we have our core part of self. And the Lord wants us to speak to and work with our inner self, our inner man, our inner person, so that rivers of living water can flow through all the parts of us. And beneath it all, God is in you, forming you, grounding you, anchoring yourself into his truth and love. For Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth, and God is the Spirit of love. Okay, so today we're going to take parts of self out of the therapy room, and we're going to talk about in the ministry realm where they show up in marriage. Now, if you're not married, this can show up in friendships. All these dynamics still apply. But marriage is not just two people. It's two nervous systems, and that is where the problems come in. It's two inner ecosystems. It's two people with a past enduring, with past enduring vulnerabilities that they bring into the marriage. When I do couples intensives, I have the couples lay out their timeline on yarn, and we put down on post-its unmet needs, traumas, and significant positive and negative events. And what we uniformly see is that before the couple even comes together, enduring vulnerabilities were already there that are now showing up as the unfortunate cornerstones of their arguments. And we are going to bring Jesus into those places and make Jesus the cornerstone. Okay, so we're obviously framing everything through the lens of codependency, not as a label of shame, but as a pattern. Codependency is what happens when I start trying to manage your emotional state, what you do, your words, your choices, your reactions, because my body believes it's not safe unless you are stable and meeting my needs. All right. So we can see some selfish ambition under here. We can see some child parts in here, and we can see all of humanity in here. Some people draw close to change the other. Other people's avoid and draw away and kind of abandon. So we have different patterns with all this. Now, let's talk about the non-negotiables of safety. Before we go into attachment styles and marriage, I do want to say that we have to put safety first. If you feel that you are being abused, get help from a therapist, get help from wise counsel. And remember that we don't protect the sanctity of marriage over the safety of the people. And so if you are continually being abused, hit, torn down in these awful ways, then without repentance, then you really do need to get some help. And you might, if there's abuse going on, you need to get out of that situation. But we don't confuse discomfort with danger, right? So I see this on both sides. Because we come into marriage with enduring vulnerability, sometimes we feel like it's hard to endure because of our own triggers. And this is where we want to get help in our own triggers, our own enduring vulnerabilities. So we don't want to confuse, I am flooded with I am harmed, but we really want to look to see if there is real harm going on. Leslie Vernick does some great work on this. So does Diane Langberg, does some great work. And so we do want to help people get out of abusive situations, because God doesn't love the sanctity of marriage above the safety of the people. All right, let's talk about the physics of codependency, and let's talk about entropy, overfunctioning, and regulation. So in physics, entropy is the natural movement toward disorder. Okay, so nervous systems don't move naturally toward order without regulation. Marriages do not move towards love, peace, and order without regulation. And when one partner becomes unpredictable, or even when we're getting signals within our own self that it's not safe, sometimes the signals are not coming from our partner, but they're more coming from our past. But it feels like it's coming from our partner. And we know that when we feel the same things over and over in various situations, then we begin to know a big part of it is us. We might be choosing some unsafe situations, but we're also in cycles of choosing that, and also experiencing an inner chaos, and sometimes choosing outer chaos or putting our inner chaos on an outer situation when it's really not there. Okay, so if one person underfunctions, the other person is tempted to overfunction. We want to compensate. We want to move towards equilibrium, but this is not the way God made it. And this is the line drop for codependency, because codependency is often the story of someone becoming the regulator in a dysregulated system. Now, what happens is this person regulates this. One person regulates, another person feels controlled, and they feel like, you're not honoring my dignity and my humanity. So it just does not work. And we talked about parts in our last session. Well, that manager part tracks, plans, monitors, and prevents. It beats us up. It criticizes the other person. It plans. It interrupts. It says, you're not saying that right. You're not doing that right. It fixes. The firefighter, which I call the fire starter, escalates, explodes, shut downs, pleads, panics, or gets involved in addictions. And the exiled part, usually the child part, says, no one is protecting me, and just feels very vulnerable and wants to collapse and hide and shut down. You know, codependency sometimes feels like, or we tell ourselves, it's love. It feels like loyalty. It feels like I'm trying. But if we look very closely, it's often our protector parts of self trying to stabilize a situation to get our own needs met. All right, let's talk about John and Julie Gottman. They've done more research on marriage and coupleship than anyone else in probably Altar Nation. All right, so most conflicts are perpetual is what they say. So we're going to bring in Gottman, John and Julie Gottman, and here comes a big relief, I hope. 69% of relational conflict is perpetual, meaning it's not going to go away. It's not flexible, it's manageable. And here's what this means. Here's why it matters to codependency, because you're never going to eliminate all the conflict. Every couple has conflict, and they deal with it in different ways. We have conflict over our enduring vulnerabilities. Like, some of my enduring vulnerabilities are abandonment and being the bad one, being blamed. My husband's enduring vulnerabilities are around being alone and not being appreciated. And you can guarantee, when we're in an argument over something stupid like ketchup, it's actually not about the ketchup, but it's about his enduring vulnerability and my enduring vulnerability crisscrossing, and his tone or my tone, something I say, something he says or does, is triggering these parts. And here we are escalating. Then the other person picks up on a sense of prosody. You know, your prosody and your voice changes when you're anxious. It sounds angry, even though you're anxious. And here we go in a dysfunctional cycle, unless we realize what's going on. And perpetual problems are also rooted in personality differences, lifestyle needs, values, emphasis, family culture, money patterns, and intimacy rhythms. So if you're waiting to finally get a spouse or have the spouse of your dreams, have your spouse change to be that person that you can finally relax with and have no conflict, you're not going to have it. The journey towards intimacy is changing how we handle conflict, not pulling away, not anxiously pursuing, but being able to stay in difficult conversations skillfully and go on a journey of understanding. So codependent says, if I can change you, I can have peace. But Christ dependent says, I can learn peace and I can walk in God's peace and I can trust the Lord and bring that strength into communication, that I can take breaks, that I can say things skillfully, that I can take that pause. All right, flooding. Why logic fails when your body is alarmed. So Gottman research has identified flooding. Flooding is when your physiology escalates so high that you can't take your partner's reality accurately. And we have terrible memory when we're flooded. When we're flooded, we're not in our higher cortex anymore. We're in our limbic and our lower cortex. And Gottman describes flooding showing up at a heart rate of about 100 beats per minute. Some people have got worn pulsometers to help realize when they're flooding, which can be a really great tool. We wear so much technology today. Now, when you flood, you need to take a break and set a time when you're going to come back when you're not flooded. And when people are flooded, they cannot do the very things that marriages require, relationships require, hear nuance, empathize, soften, collaborate, and make repair. Good marriages are about repair, noticing a repair attempt, making a repair attempt, receiving repair, because we have these triggers. And, we are on this side of the fall. We have wounds. We have hurts. We even have epigenetic generational harm that's in how our genes work. So this is where codependency gets spiritualized and become bondage, because I believe if I can just get you to understand me, you'll finally get it. We try to talk our way through it. It's like, you've got to hear me. You've got to understand me. And if your spouse is flooded, your words won't land. And if you're flooded, your words are coming across as anger and rage, or at least anger, if not rage, because our prosody changes and our intensity goes up. Some people check out. If you check out and stop talking, that's called stonewalling. That's not good either. So the question is, are we even regulated enough to have a human conversation? And some people are more validating. Some people are more high intensity in what they were raised in. Some people are more quiet in what they're raised in. And sometimes we have intersections along those temperaments and the way that we do relationships as well. And so that can be a challenge. And a lot of this is going to come down to regulation and training with the Father and training with the Holy Spirit, empathy and repair and acceptance. All right. Now, if you are flooding, you're going to interpret your spouse in the worst possible way. And you're going to interpret, we tend to interpret ourselves as, well, I'm just passionate, but you have hurt me. And the truth is, we need to take the log out of our own eye and not focus on the sawdust in our partner's eye, because every time we judge, we've got three fingers pointing backwards. And if anytime you're judging, if you just ask yourself, do I do the same thing? You will almost uniformly find yes, beloved. You really will. It's scary, but true. All right, let's look at the attachment styles and the ways that they interact. We have talked about the research by Bowlby and others. We've talked about the four broad patterns: secure, anxious, avoidant, and then disorganized or fearful. We've also gone into some other attachment styles in the past, such as trauma bonded and earn secure and different types. But let's just work with these four and talk about how they interact with marriage. So if you have secure and secure, two securely attached people, very, very rare. You might have parts flair, but often like the parts of self of manager, fire starter, and exiled child, because everyone has parts. But the core self returns, we're able to regulate more, and codependency is less likely because both people are able to tolerate their own emotions and those of others. If you have secure and anxious or preoccupied, the anxious partner's exiled says, "Don't leave me. Don't leave me," and feels very anxious. And their manager protests, texts, checks, asks, pursue. Now, remember, when you're pursuing, it feels like anxiety, but to you, but to the other person, it feels like anger and violating space. Now, the secure partner can soothe, and the research does show when you're married to a secure partner, over the course of about 2 years, you can begin to regulate if that secure partner is truly secure. They can be a force for you moving towards earn secure. All right, now, the secure partner can help soothe unless they get shamed into being the constant regulator. Right? We don't want the secure partner to begin to become avoidant or the constant fixer. Now, when we have secure and avoidant or dismissing, here, the avoidant partner's manager says, "Say cool, need less, fear less." So the avoidant partner's manager wants to pull away. Anxious parts in the secure spouse may awaken over time. So over time, the more the avoidant pulls away, the secure partner can become more anxious. Codependency shows up as the secure partner becoming the emotional one for both people. In other words, you're under functioning with emotion, so I have to make it up. And this is how we can become codependent over time when we were secure. When we marry someone with, let's say, an addiction where they keep pulling away and where there's a lot of chaos, over time, we can become sick as well, which is why, like Alcoholics Anonymous, often people will go to Al-Anon for help with that. All right, secure and disorganized. This pairing can look stable until closeness triggers an old fear. And then you get approach avoid cycles, the push pull. And this marriage can be high intimacy and high chaos, lots of talk, lots of rupture, lots of fear. And codependency can become mutual. So that's normally a partner where, the spouse begins to walk on eggshells, and those eggshells can cause codependency for both. If you have anxious and anxious, you have two people scanning for threat. And in that scanning for threat, the fire starters can pursue, the managers can pursue, and we can have one person pursue, one person withdraw, and taking turns. Both people are saying, "You're the problem." And it can be a cycle of escalation and then validation, validation, validation. Anxious and disorganized, this can become intense trauma-bonded energy. Closeness is both craved and feared. Repair attempts become tests, and the anxious partner becomes the regulator, and the fearful partner becomes unpredictable, and we spin off into instability. Now, remember, in a system that's looping, we've learned from physics, it needs an external regulator. Mm-hmm. That's Jesus. And then avoidant and disorganized, on the outside, calm and distance, and we're fine. But inside, shut down, unresolved pain, silent loneliness. Codependency shows up as over-functioning through tasks rather than words, money, logistics, parenting, while intimacy starves. All right, now, your attachment style is healable. You can heal your attachment style. Jesus heals the broken heart. And what we want to do is allow ourselves to begin to let the Lord be that stabilizing factor for ourselves and our marriage. And we want to see our marriage as us, not you versus me, but us, and protect us. And we also need to regulate when our partner steps out of us. Now, Jesus moves toward your vulnerable parts. The scriptures say the Lord draws near to the broken heart. So he is drawn to your vulnerable parts. Jesus moves toward the vulnerable part and he moves toward the contrite. So what we want to do is come to the Lord and allow that brokenness, confess these patterns as sin. He says, let the little children come to me. He says in John 14, 18, I will not leave you as orphans. So yes, your marriage triggers your parts like no other relationship in your life, most likely. And you can bring those parts to Jesus. Go to drbarbaraministries.org/self-parent and begin to let Jesus and your core part of self, your most confident, competent, creative, calm part of self, you're made in God's image. You have that part of self in you. Because we want to do that self-parenting work and let Jesus parent the parts, because we need to stop needing our spouse to be our God or our mom and our dad. All right, let's move from parts to purpose. So marriage is, it's not emotional. It's not just psychological. It's not just relational. Marriage is theological. It is a mystery. And when we don't understand God's design for marriage, we ask marriage to do what only God can. So let's go back, not to Genesis, not to Paul, but not to Ephesians, not to Paul, but back to Genesis, before sin, before shame, before codependency. God said, it's not good for humans or man to be alone. He did not say it's not good for man to be without purpose. It's not good for man to need someone to complete him. Adam was already walking with God. So he had a complete relationship with God. He already had identity. He already had purpose. Eve was not the fix for Adam. She is created to join Adam and his man. And Adam and his wife were naked and were not ashamed. Back then, there was no attachment panic, and God was the primary attachment figure. It's when they left God as the primary attachment figure and chased sin, and Eve chased sin and Adam chased her, that they came into pain, codependency, damaged parts, trauma legacy, codependency. Marriage was designed to be an overflow of secure attachment with God, not a replacement for it. Let's say that again. Marriage was designed to be an overflow of a secure attachment with God, not a replacement for it. You know, we're going to do a future podcast on what's been happening with the generations and legacy burdens. And when we think about it, so many of our institutions have broken down. So many of what we used to rely on, so much of it is just not, we don't trust a lot of institutions anymore. And this impact puts a lot of stress on marriage to be our everything, and it also makes us a little more desperate because there's less security and surety in our society and in our culture, as far as the world and the Western society, at least. Okay, so let's go into the fall when attachment panic enters. So Genesis 3 brings in something the human system didn't know, which is fear. And then Adam hides, Eve reaches, blame begins, control enters, and shame takes over. And this is the birth of what we now know as attachment panic with God, attachment panic with people. Will my needs be met? And then we cope by acting out, pursuing, or pulling away, withdrawing, rather than locking back in to secure attachment with the Father. And so a post-fall attachment strategy has been from the mind of the flesh. If you're okay, I'll be okay. If you leave, I'll collapse. If you change and meet my needs, I can rest. And marriage becomes a place where we unconsciously reenact Eden's loss. I missed you. I need you to be God because I am adrift and I'm stuck in attachment panic. I'm stuck in shame and I need you to fix me. But no human nervous system can tolerate being someone else's savior. That's why marriages collapse under the weight of being the recipient of full attachment panic. So let's slow this down and name it more clearly. What is attachment panic? It is not drama. It's not immaturity. It's not sin. Now, women tend to get more fearful. Men tend to get more angry, and then they judge one another for it. You're just angry. You're just fearful. You're just insecure. Well, it's attachment panic. We might handle it differently in future episodes. We'll talk about men and women, but it's neurobiological alarm. And then our anxiety or our anger say, it's you. Change what you're doing. Your body learned early, often before language, that closeness was unpredictable, unsafe, inconsistent, or conditional. Because we, you know, most of us have been bullied. Most of us have had trauma, relational trauma. So when your spouse withdraws, get angry, shuts down, disappoints you, doesn't attune, blames you, your nervous doesn't say, this is hard. Your nervous says, this is dangerous. I'm not going to get what I want. I'm all alone. I'm all the way back to Eden again. And your anxious part protects, your controlling part manages, your pleasing part appeases, your distancing part detaches, you spiritually bypass. And this is misplaced attachment. This is our worship disorder where we do need each other and we need God made us to co-regulate. However, it's the way God co-regulates, where you're co-regulated first with the Trinity. And so until attachment is re-anchored in God, marriage will keep triggering panic instead of peace. All right, so now let's go into the New Testament, marriage after Christ. So Jesus does something revolutionary with attachment. Jesus didn't say, cling harder, try harder, get that need met from that panic, get revenge, blame. He says, abide in me. John 15, abide in me and I in you. And now if the two become one, then who abides? The two. So no matter what, we abide in him. And when our spouse leaves, we don't go chase them with our attachment panic. We stay in abiding because Jesus says, I am the secure base. I am the safe haven. I am the one who does not leave. And then Paul talks about marriage. Ephesians 5 is not about hierarchy. It's about secure attachment. Husbands are called to love as Christ loves, sacrificially, steadily, without withdrawal. And the Lord does also say, do not be harsh, husbands, with your kids and your wives. Husbands have a tendency to be harsh. Women have a tendency to be controlling. And so the Lord says, submit. The Lord says, respect. The Lord calls the woman to respect the husband as Christ. So here we see this covenant formed by God, anchored in attachment with God. Marriage works best when God is the primary attachment figure and spouses are secondary attachment figures. And both people take responsibility for their souls. This is why I love 12-step work so much, because we all look at our own parts. All right, I'm going to say a prayer over your marriage and your marriage wounds. I know some of you are what I would consider divorce widows. Some of you are realizing your own parts in the marriage story. And no matter how the breakup happened or is happening, we all have a part and we must own it. We are so fixated often with what they did because we have a world of hurt in us before what they did, and then what they did confirmed it. So we want to back up. Own our parts, train with the Lord, resonate with the Lord, heal through attachment with the Lord, and then move forward in a healthier way. We're going to work on marriage in the next podcast as well. And then after that, we'll work on legacy. But I do want to do an encounter with y'all. But next time, we're going to talk about parts in marriage, formation in marriage. We're going to talk about how to argue well in marriage and how to deal with these perpetual problems in marriage. So we have a lot more to come. I'm actually going to take you through next time The Aftermath of a Regrettable Incident by John and Julie Gottman. And we have so much more. Also, if you are interested in pastoral coaching, it's not therapy, but coaching, because it's completely from a Christian worldview with me as a minister. You can go to drbarbaraministries.org/ I think it's coaching, but you can also just go to my ministry and hit the coaching link on the top bar on the menu bar. And I'm happy to set up a free consultation to talk to you about what I can offer as a pastoral coach. Also, we all need help parenting these parts. So make sure you get our free resource, drbarbaraministries.org/self-parent. All right, let's have an encounter here. Lord, I thank you so much for the listeners. I thank you for their heart to grow healthy in relationships. Lord, we have so much ahead. We have so much to learn about how to be healthy in relationships. And we're realizing ways that our attachment styles have hurt the relationships we've been in the past and that we're currently in. And yet we know, Lord, you accept us with 100% belonging, and at the same time, you're forming Christ in us. Lord, right now, I pray for those parts of us that we've given away to others to be returned to us, where we've literally given away and almost prostituted ourselves, giving, serving, fixing, trying to get the love that we need and want. And Lord, we ask that you'd bring those parts back into us in a healthy way, literally remember, bring our members back of ourselves. And Lord, I pray for those child parts within us, God, those managers, fire starters, and exiles. Lord, touch each one deeply, profoundly. Father, strengthen our core self that we could be what you want us to be in our core relationships and in marriage, if we are in a marriage or called to marriage. Lord, I pray for every marriage, every person who has been married or is married, and I pray for those wounds that have occurred that have reinforced the enduring vulnerability of I'm bad, I'm wrong, I'm too much, I'm not enough. And Lord, we right now erase by your Holy Spirit eraser those lies. We burn them up with your holy love and your holy fire. Right now, we agree with you and send forth your word to heal them. We send forth your word that says you are holy and blameless in my sight. Lord, we thank you for Psalm 23, that you lead us by the still waters. We thank you for Isaiah 61, that you heal our broken heart, that you heal the shattered pieces of our hearts. Bring those shattered pieces together. And Lord, I pray for marriages that are on the rocks, God, that you have called to stay together. Father, I pray slowly that these truths would melt the resentment that's come up. Beloved, if you are working on your marriage, you will be required to forgive. Trust needs to be earned, but forgiveness is key. You will not hurt, you will not heal a marriage or a relationship without forgiveness. You won't, because resentment causes us to stare and to be defensive and to criticize. And it won't heal without forgiveness both ways. So Lord, we pray for our hearts to be soft and to forgive. Lord, we thank you for all you're doing. And we thank you for the next podcast where we're going to get into some more physics. We're going to get into some more parts work. We're going to talk about the four horsemen that kill marriages. And we're going to talk about how to argue well and go on a journey of understanding in our conflict, and how conflict can be a part of intimacy. Now, beloved, I'm going to be teaching a lot more on healthy relationships in this from codependent to Christ dependent series. We've got a lot more ahead. So buckle up, continue listening. Remember, we podcast 3 times a week. We're giving you a reservoir of content so that you can heal. Jesus heals the broken heart. Make sure you're following us on YouTube, every place where podcasts are released, and also on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. You are loved. We do this because you're loved. We're pumping out this free content for you. And we have a, for women only right now, the Heart Journey community and mentoring experience. And at the time of this release, it's likely closed, but we will be opening up a new one in late summer. And so the only people who really can join are people who've done it with me in the past. You can rejoin and you can contact me about that. But know that that's coming. And we're also working on Heart Journey for Churches to be continued. I love you. See you in the next podcast.